Imagine a mother saying to her son, I want you to go to the store and I want you to get me a quart of whole milk. Now, it's important that it be whole milk. We're going to have homemade ice cream tonight, and non-fat won't work as well as whole milk. It's got to be whole milk. So this teenage son gets in the car and goes to the grocery store. And as he approaches the dairy section of the grocery store, he's talking on the cell phone with his girlfriend. He grabs a carton of milk and pays for it, goes back home, and to his surprise, he picked up non-fat milk instead of whole milk. But he was surprised. He really did not know he had done that. He thought he had whole milk. Now that's a parable. A parable of the spiritual life of some people. You see, in the spiritual life, there's such a thing as whole milk. And there's such a thing as 2%. And there's such a thing as just skim milk. Which kind of spiritual life do you have? How do you figure that out? What's the whole milk like? And what's the 2% like? Well, if you'd like the answer to those questions, I'd invite your attention to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, where I'm going to begin reading with verse 26. James 1, 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, James is talking about pure religion. That's obvious from verse 27. But what he says in verse 26 is it's possible to be deceived by spiritual life. So there's two kinds of religion, if I can use that word, he does, in this passage. One is a deceived spiritual life, and the second is a pure spiritual life. So those are the two kinds of spiritual life we're going to talk about today. Let's begin with being deceived. How could that happen? Look at verse 26. If anybody thinks he is religious, the key word there is he thinks he is, but as James goes on to say, he isn't. He's deceived. Now, what could make somebody think they have, you know, whole milk, so to speak, and end up with non-fat? What does that? Well, I think the answer is in the word religious. The Bible doesn't use that word very much. Matter of fact, it doesn't use it much at all. This particular word puts the focus on the rituals of religion, the rites, R-I-T-E-S, of religion, the externals of religion. And that, I think, is the clue as to what's going on here. James is talking about somebody who goes through the external forms of religion. Earlier in the passage, he said, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. Remember that verse? That indicates that perhaps he's talking about hearing the word in an assembly of believers. We call that the church service. In other words, this is probably somebody who's going to church. That's the external of religion that I think he has reference to. Furthermore, this word seems to be looking at being meticulous about the details of that external ritual of religion. So that this is a person who not only goes to church, when they sing hymns, this person sings. And when they pass the plate, They plop down money in the plate. They don't just let it pass by. They participate. When the sermon is preached, they listen. They don't just sleep. They can tell you about the service and the sermon after the service. They go through the ritual of religion. So they walk out and they think, look at me. I'm spiritual. I went to church. I mean, I know a whole bunch of people that aren't as spiritual as I am. They slept in this morning. I am spiritual. I got the whole milk variety. Now, that's one form of this. I think anything you do that is the external could contribute to this. Many people have a ritual of reading their Bible and praying every day. That's not bad, by the way. Neither is going to church, neither is singing, neither is putting money in the plate. None of these things are wrong. That's not the problem. The issue is that you think that because you did those things, you're spiritual. That's the problem. It's not that you do them. It's that you think because you do them, you somehow are spiritual. So that's the deceived spiritual life. It's the deception. I've been going through the Gospel of Luke on Wednesday night, and I've been struck again with the fact that Jesus taught over and over again about the dangers of the externals of religion, that the Pharisees of his day had all kinds of externals, rituals that they went through, and they thought they were really God's favorite because of it. And if there's anything Jesus taught when he was on the earth, it's that that can make you a hypocrite. James says it would make you deceived. Now, he says, I'm going to give you a test to see whether or not you're deceived, whether or not it's working or whether you're deceived and just going through the forms. Now, he's going to pick one thing. I think a number of things could fall into this category. But he says in verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue, James says, all right, let me give you a test. It's the tongue test. Dr. James says, stick out your tongue and let's see how spiritually healthy you are. An ancient writer named Justin said, by examining the tongue of a patient, a physician finds out the disease of the body and the philosopher the disease of the mind. I think James would add to that, and we can stick out your tongue and find the disease of the heart. So James says, you want to know if it's doing the real thing? You got the real pure thing? Well, listen to the way you talk. People think they've got it, but just listen to them. They don't got it at all. An old wise man said, you can generally tell the metal of the bell by the sound of the clapper. Just listen to what people say. You can pretty much tell where they are spiritually. By the way, that sometimes goes, listen carefully to what they don't say. That can sometimes be just as interesting as what they do say. Now, as if that's not bad enough, he says, and oh, by the way, you're not just deceived. Your religion is useless. That's verse 26. That person's religion, all those religious activities, didn't get you anything. And the point being, it had no practical effect on your life. It didn't affect you. Now, I think this passage is connected to everything that's gone before in this whole chapter. For example, he says in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, that one is blessed in his deeds. So what James is saying is this. All right, so you go to church and you hear the Bible taught. But if you just heard it and you didn't do it, and you thought you were religious because you heard it, it had no effect. You didn't do it, then it didn't produce the right effect in your life. As a matter of fact, he says in that, in verse 25, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, what's the perfect law of liberty? Love. So here you go to church and you hear that you're supposed to love, and you march right out and say unloving things. Ooh. Then what good did it do you to hear the word of God? Nothing. Zip, zilch, zero, nothing. It didn't affect even the way you talk. By the way, back up to verse 19. He says, so then, my dearly beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. So if you're hearing the word of God, one of the things that happens is you learn to control your tongue. So you hear that, you know that, march right out and pop off at the mouth when you should have been a little slower on the draw. And remember, in chapter 3, he's going to say that if you really want to be spiritually mature, you've got to control the tongue. That's a sign that you have self-control, which is part and parcel of being spiritually mature. But if you don't have it, then that is a demonstration that you don't got it. You don't have the whole pure milk of the Word of God. So, ritual minus the reality of spiritual truth is absolutely useless. I hate to tell you this. You may have wasted your time coming to church today. You may have wasted your time listening to me teach. Because if all you do is hear and don't practice, what good did it do you? It's absolutely useless. So James is saying it's possible to live a deceived spiritual life. Because you go through some external rituals, you think you got it, when in reality, you don't. Let's suppose somebody gets sick, and they go to the doctor. And the doctor says, let me explain to you your physical problem. And explains in great detail what's causing your symptoms, the real disease. And he writes you a prescription. And you go to the drugstore and you get it filled. And you take the bottle home and set it on the counter and don't take it. But you think, I'm in good shape. I went to the doctor. You know, there are people who get sick and they don't go to the doctor. I went to the doctor. Not only that, I listened to the doctor. I know exactly what he said. I can explain to you what my medical problem is. I'm so proud of me. But you're still sick. Yeah, but I went to the drugstore. I paid the copay to get that prescription filled. Bully for you. But you're still sick. You've got to take the pill. And that's what James is saying. If you think you're spiritual because you did something like go to church or read your Bible or listen to the Bible taught or whatever, and it did not have any practical impact on your life, you are deceived, and all that you did is absolutely useless. Wow. Pretty heavy duty, isn't it? So what's the whole milk? What do I have to do? Well, he showed you one thing, control your tongue. But there's more. Look at verse 27. pure, pure, pure. I'm emphasizing that for the simple reason that most who come to this passage skip over that word. And then they say the passage is talking about true religion versus false religion. James is not talking about true versus false. He assumes that you know the Lord. Calls them brethren in this passage, talks about them being born again by hearing the gospel. No, he's not talking about true versus false. He's talking about pure versus impure. Or to illustrate, he's not talking about milk versus water with white paint in it. That's true versus false. He's talking about the difference between whole milk, 2% milk, and non-fat milk. So that, well, what kind of milk do you have spiritually? Is it pure or is it non-fat? Now, what he says in verse 27 is pure and undefiled. The idea of pure is there's no stain in it. And the idea behind undefiled is it's not contaminated. So some people have milk. In the first place, it's not whole milk. Can't make good ice cream out of it. And in the second place, it's got, well, contamination in it. Who wants to drink that kind of milk? So James says pure milk. Whole milk is made out of this. Verse 27. To visit the fatherless and widows. Now that expression in the Old Testament is proverbial. It's used of anybody who has a need. So the idea is that you're going to go see somebody who has a problem. Matter of fact, the Greek word that's translated visit means to visit with care. So this isn't the visit of the postman to deliver the mail or the consensus taker to get the data from the house or a salesman to sell you something. No, this is the visit of somebody who has come to somebody who has need to in order to help them. That's pure spirituality. It's when you are ministering to somebody else. He highlights this by saying, you visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. And the word translated trouble means just that, trouble, tribulation, pressure, stress. You go help somebody that's in that kind of a situation. So this is not checkbook charity where you write a check. It's you get personally involved. Matter of fact, I think this goes back to you practice the perfect law of liberty, that you are loving the person. You look in the perfect law and liberty, and one of the ways you do that is you go visit the fatherless and widows in their trouble. Now, that means you go help somebody who can't pay you back. It's not I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's I'm going to go do something for somebody, and they are an orphan or a widow. They can't pay me back. Now, let me explain that in the first century, there was no social security system. So if a woman was a widow and had children, she was pretty destitute. So the idea here is that you're going to go help somebody who really has a need. It may be physical, it may be spiritual, it may be emotional, but you're in the business of going to help somebody. Now, keep in mind, I think this person is going through the rituals of religion. as I mentioned earlier, they're going to church. And now he says, go help somebody. You see, I think that there are people who come to church with the idea of, what can I get out of this? Whereas I think we should go to ask, how can I go to minister to somebody else? That's the bottom line of the real thing, is you're involved in helping somebody's need. There's a second thing he says, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, what does unspotted from the world mean? Well, the word world, the Greek word is cosmos, by the way, simply refers to an ordered system. Only in the New Testament, it's an ordered system headed by Satan. Satan's number one objective in life is to live life without God. He is called the God of this world. So in his world, what he wants is that you just leave God out of your life. That would make him very, very happy. You can be moral, just leave God out of your life. You can be religious, just leave God out of your life. You can even go to church every Sunday, just leave God out of your life. That's being spotted by the world. So James says, the real thing, the whole milk kind of thing, the pure thing, is that you're not spotted by leaving God out of some form of your life. You know what? That's easy to do. I think there are people, some faithful Christians, who leave God out of their checkbook, or leave God out of their decisions, or leave God out of this one particular activity of their life. I mean, they talk to the Lord other times, but there's just certain aspects of my life, I'm just going to leave God out of that. If you leave God out, you get spotted. That's a spot, a stain. And pure religion doesn't have those stains and contaminants in it. And the contaminant is leaving God out. I do a lot of reading. Somebody suggested it's my hobby. That wasn't the way I was when I was younger, but over the years I've learned to read, and I love to read, and I read a lot. I also read with a highlighter. Matter of fact, family has learned that the one thing I want for Christmas is highlighters. So I get a pile of highlighters every Christmas. Usually lasts me all year. Love to read with a highlighter. But I've had some bad experiences with highlighters. There's a recliner in the house, and I kick back in the recliner and read this book and highlight it. And I've been known to not put the cap back on the highlighter, and it falls down, and I've ruined more than one good shirt. My wife says, don't read with the shirt on. Take the shirt off. So I've actually read without the outside shirt, and I just read with an undershirt on. As a matter of fact, I almost brought it this morning. I've got an undershirt with a big yellow spot right in the middle. So what I've learned is, without the cap on the highlighter, you have spots. And without the Lord, you have a spotted spiritual life. At those moments that you leave him out, your life is spotted spiritually. So James is saying, you want to have the pure thing? You want to have whole milk? Then here's what you have to do. Control your tongue. Go help somebody and include the Lord. Now, isn't that rather interesting? Reverse them. Include the Lord. Go minister to people and control your tongue. When the Word ministers to you in all three areas like that, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with other people, and your relationship to yourself, you got the real thing. It may be 2%, but you're headed toward 4. So, James says, go help somebody. Go help somebody. Now, I think it's interesting that this comes at the end of chapter 1. And as I've said now several times, I think it relates to what he said before this. One example is, he said, don't just hear the word, do it. So what is do it? Go help somebody. Include the Lord in your life and go help somebody. Or he said, look into the perfect law of liberty. That's the law of love. So what's that? Go help somebody. Go love somebody. Back up at the beginning of the chapter, he starts out saying, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials. He gets to the end of the chapter and he says, go visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Let me give you one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard. If you've got a problem, go help somebody that's got a problem. Now, what happens is we all have problems. And some people use that as the excuse for not helping somebody else. Well, if you know all the problems I had. Well, here's what I'm telling you. You got a problem? One of the finest things you can do is go find somebody with the same problem and help them. That is the pure thing. And leaving that out, as well as leaving the Lord out, spots you spiritually. Got something to work on? Got somebody you can go minister to? Well, let me end by telling you a story. Jean Thompson stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school in the fall and told the children a lie. Like most teachers, she looked at her pupils and she said that she loved them all the same, that she would treat them all alike. But that was impossible because there on the front row was a little boy named Teddy Stoddard. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed he didn't play with the other children, that his clothes were unkempt, that he constantly needed a bath, and Teddy was unpleasant. It got to the point during the first few months that she would actually take delight in marking his paper with bright red ink, making bold X's, and then making a big F at the top of the paper, and it was the biggest mark of all. Because Teddy was sullen, no one else seemed to enjoy him either. At the school where she taught, she was required to review each child's record. So she put Teddy's off until last. When she opened his file, she was in for a surprise. His first grade teacher wrote, and I quote, Teddy is a bright, inquisitive child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly, has good manners, and he's a joy to be around. His second grade teacher wrote, Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he's troubled. Because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle. His third grade teacher wrote, Teddy continues to work hard, but his mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, But his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if some steps are not taken. Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends and sometimes sleeps in class. He is tardy and has become a problem." By now, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem, but Christmas was coming fast. It was all she could do with the school play and all until the day before the holidays began, and she was suddenly forced to focus on Teddy Stoddard. Her children brought her presents, all in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's, which was clumsily wrapped in a brown grocery sack. Mrs. Thompson took pains to open it in the middle of all the other presents. Some of the children began to snicker when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing, and a bottle that was only a quarter filled with cologne. She remarked on how pretty the bracelet was, and she put it on. She dabbed some of the perfume on her wrist. Teddy Stoddard stayed behind just enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried for an hour. On that very day, she quit teaching, reading, writing, and speaking. Instead, she began to teach children. Jean Thompson paid attention, particular attention, on that one they called Yuddy instead of Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. One day there would be an important test. Mrs. Thompson would remember that cologne. By the end of the year, he had become one of the smartest children in the class. Well, he at least had become her pet of the teacher who once vowed to love all of her children exactly the same. A year later, she found a note under a door from Teddy telling her that of all the teachers he had had in elementary school, she was the favorite. 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He then wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still his favorite teacher of all time. 4 more years went by before she got another letter. And when she did, it said that while things were being tough at times, he stayed in school and stuck with it and would graduate from college with the highest honors. He assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still his favorite teacher. 4 more years passed, and then another letter came. This time, he explained that after his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little further. The letter explained that she was still his favorite teacher, but now his name was a little longer. The letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story didn't end there. You see, there was yet another letter that spring. Teddy said he had met a girl and was to be married. He explained that his father had died a couple of years ago, and he was wondering, well, if Mrs. Thompson might not sit in the pew usually reserved for the mother of the groom. And guess what? She wore that bracelet, you know, the one that had the rhinestone missing. And I'll bet on that day Jean Thompson smelled just like, well, the way Teddy's mother remembered him smelling on that last Christmas they had together. Go find a Teddy and hug him like a teddy bear. Father, thank you for loving us. Now give us the grace to go love other people. Give us a Teddy. Give us the wisdom, the grace to love Teddy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.